Hello, everybody. I'm hoping you're hearing me. If you are, somebody could just quickly type in the chat window, or we can see it in the captioning, I guess.
It looks like they are hearing us.
Okay, very good. Welcome to the third session of the webinars on Read and Write. Thank you to Mr. Norm Coombs and Easy for hosting these or sponsoring these webinars, letting us do these. We appreciate the opportunity to do that. The webinar will be recorded, and Norm will be posting the recordings and the caption transcripts, all those files after the webinar. When I get them to him, he will be able to take care of that for us. So you will be able to go back and play these later. Microphones are muted. So if you have questions, feel free to either raise your hand with the Alt-Y command, I believe it was. Or if you want to, you can type in the chat window, and Sean will be keeping an eye on that, and we'll try to answer questions as we go. We certainly welcome questions. We don't want this to just be a sit and listen kind of situation, so feel free to ask questions. The first week we talked about setting up Read and Write with getting the toolbar set up the way you want it, get speech set up the way you want it. Last week we talked about reading tools, and I realized after the webinar there was one thing I was going to do a little quick demonstration on and totally slipped my mind. I think it's got something to do with gray hair, but I don't know. I forget what that is. But anyway, I'm going to do that first this week. And then this week we're going to get into the writing tools and show some of the tools that Read and Write has to support the writing process. So we're going to go ahead and share our screen, and Read and Write is already loaded.
It's not loaded yet. I can get it loaded though. And also, just to let you know, if you're wondering why you don't see us in video, we have a bit of a ice storm in the Kansas City area right now where a lot of places are shutting down. So we are in a remote location.
Yeah, actually, my college closed today. We've been broadcasting from my office over at the college. So Sean braved the weather and came to my house, and we're broadcasting from my house. And I'm too cheap to buy a webcam, so we're webcamless. So, all right. First thing I want to show you, one of the things that we have really found Read and Write to be helpful for our students is reading tests. So instructors will send us the test, and we will, if it's not already in a Word format that they can easily read with Read and Write, we'll convert it to a Word format for them, put it on a flash drive, put them on a secure computer and with Read and Write, and only have the reading tools available to them. We disable all the other tools and only have the reading tools available to them, and they can read a test. And it's really simple. I can show a student how to do this in like 5 minutes. So I'm going to show you just real quick, and that's if they have absolutely no experience with Read and Write at all. So I'm going to show you real quick how a person would read a test. We're going to load the one that says practice test. Okay. All right. Now, to get Read and Write to work the way I think works best on a test, and most of my students would agree, I'm going to go up to the speech menu beside the play button, drop that down. And I'm going to set it to read by paragraph. I'm going to turn off automatically read next block. And of course, make sure read the web is not on as well. So those settings are what I want to read a test. And then simply go down, and I'm going to click in front of question number one. And I'm going to click my play button to read the question to me.
Uh-oh. 1. What is the name of the college you are attending?
Okay, so if I want to hear that question again, I just simply click the play button again.
1. What is the name of the college you are attending?
And I can do that as many times as I want to. You don't have to relocate the mouse or anything. You just click the play button again and it'll read the current object, whatever that would be. Okay, now let's say I want to go on to the next block, and all I have to do is click my forward button, and it'll read my first option in my multiple choice.
University of Kansas.
Then click forward again, and it'll read my next choice.
B. Kansas State University.
And forward again.
C. Kansas City, Kansas Community College.
Now, all three of these have Kansas in them, so it might be a little confusing. So I may want to go back and what was that last one again? So I can click back.
B, Kansas State. C, Kansas City, Kansas Community College.
Okay. And then one more on there.
B, Kansas State University.
Oh, you went back. Yeah. Forward again.
University of Kansas.
Forward.
B, Kansas State University. C, Kansas City, Kansas Community College.
I don't think I put a D, did I?
None of the above.
Oh, okay. Then, of course, none of the above. So D, the student can...
None of the above.
The student can have this read to them as many times as they want. So, again, if they want to read this option again, all they have to do is just click the play button again.
So I keep checking for chat.
D, none of the above.
Okay. So that, and when they answer this question, then they simply go click in front of the next question and click their play button, and they're ready to move on to the next one. So it makes it very easy on a multiple choice kind of test. I guess I should have had you load the other one, because the other one I put.
Can I get a load it real quick?
Yeah, go load the sample one.
Yeah.
And depending on the student, you know, some of our students, the teachers want them to mark the answers on the actual test. And if they have enough vision to do so and enough dexterity to do so, generally the students who are using this tool for reading their test are students who have a print disability, non-vision related. So they can mark their answers on a Scantron or on a test without any difficulty. But if they do have trouble with that, we let them mark it in the Word document and save it, and then we transfer the answers to their Scantron or their test for them. So anyway, here's another example. And again, it has a multiple choice question first, but then it has a short answer question. And a lot of our students, because they also want to use Speak as I Type, they want to be able to review their answer. We tell them just click after the, so go ahead and click in front of question number two it is, and click your play button and we'll read the question.
Two, explain the difference between a degree program and a certificate program.
Okay. And then we tell them just click on the blank space after the question and write your answer. And if you want to use the Speak as I Type tools, you know, if we know they're going to be doing short answers, we'll show them the, they can turn on the Speak as I Type by word or sentence and have it read back to them. Or they can simply click in front of the question, their answer when they get done typing it, click play and read their answer back to them. So it makes it really easy to do a test of this nature. Now, if you get into matching, it could be a little trickier, but again, they can click in front of what they're wanting to read and read it so they can have the words in the list read to them, they can have the definitions and that list read to them, and they can match things up that way. Okay, so that covers what I was going to show last week on the reading side of things. So now we're going to move into the writing tools that we're going to demonstrate today. And we're going to go to a blank Word document, because the first thing I want to demonstrate is the Speak as I Type tool.
Okay.
So in this document, we're going to use this blank document. I'm going to go up and make sure my Speak as I Type is turned on. And that's in the speech menu beside the play button. Is it turned on?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And if I remember correctly, I have this set to speak by word and sentence, but I'm going to go double check that since this is a computer we haven't used in a while. And just to kind of refresh your memory of where we would go to find that. So we're going to drop down the speech menu by the play button again. And we're going to go to speech options. And we're going to go over to the highlight tab. I'm sorry, auto read tab. And under auto read, you have the three options, speak by character, speak by word, speak by sentence. And we're going to set, we're going to turn on word and sentence and not character at this point.
So,
All right, click our OK button and we're back to our document. And so we're going to type the word this, T-H-I-S, hit space.
This.
And then we're going to type the word is in space.
Is.
So you hear it saying each word as it's typed. We're going to go ahead and finish out the sentence, a beautiful day.
A beautiful day.
And then we're going to close our...
This is a beautiful day.
When we hit the period, it automatically reads the entire sentence back as well. So this is a really cool feature. And again, it's very customizable. Some students want it to read both the words and the sentence. Some think that's too much feedback and they'll only have it read the sentence. or the words. Some students don't use this at all. They prefer to wait till they're done and have it read back to them. But what a lot of students have found or have told me is they like the sentence one, because when they get done reading a sentence, if they hit the closing punctuation, it automatically reads a sentence. I can hear, did that say what they thought they were saying? Depending on the type of learning disability they have, that can be very important. I think I told you the very first week, about a man from another institution that came. He was spending hours upon hours trying to write essays for his program that he was in. He had to do 2-3-page essays a week, and just spending hours upon hours for each one. When he used the speak as I type set by sentence, he would type his sentence and it would read it back to him at the end, and he would catch a lot of his errors simply because he was hearing it right then, and he would fix a lot of them while that thought was fresh in his mind. He knew what he was wanting to say. It made it much easier for him to proof. Sometimes people want to be able to correct that while they're right there, while they have that thought in their mind, they know what they were wanting to say. If they go back later and they play it back, they may not remember exactly what they were trying to say there. It's out of their mind by then. So again, depending on the type of disability, the learning disability, depending on the person's writing style and learning style, speak as I type may be very helpful. It may not be, but it's something to practice with and play with just to give it a try. Any questions on the speak as I type tool? Am I missing anything, Sean? Did I leave anything out?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I'm not seeing any questions coming through.
Okay. All righty. So next we're going to show you the word prediction tool. This tool can be very helpful, not only for people with learning disabilities, but it can also be very helpful for people with physical disabilities who struggle in using the keyboard. Instead of having to type out every character, they can type just a character or two to get an entire word. Years ago, when I was still a student at the college, we had a student with severe physical disabilities who could not, he had to use a pointing stick and type one character at a time on the keyboard, and it was very slow for him. We got a word prediction program installed on the computer, and the disability services person decided to test it just to see how much it would save in keystrokes. And so she typed just a two-paragraph memo. And in just that two-paragraph memo, it saved her, I believe it was 147 keystrokes. And to you and me, that doesn't sound like much. But when you think it takes a student 10 to 20 seconds to move from one key to another, and you multiply that by 147, that's a pretty significant time savings. And you think about that in a 2-3-page essay, you're really talking a lot of time savings. So read and write is not just for people with reading disabilities or learning disabilities, but it can also be very helpful for people with physical disabilities. And I'm going to shut up and let Sean demonstrate it for you.
So now that you know all about it, this is what it looks like when you do it. So you have a little drop-down menu, and you have some options in here. So I'll just show you what this is going to look like. Adjusting the colors is an option, along with changing the font and size, and just a couple different things down here as far as how you want the words to be displayed. What we are going to use is stick with this predict one word ahead. And these are just some of the other options. Pretty standard dictionary buttons and suggestions for the prediction list. And what we're going to do is insert the word when clicked. And this will speak the word when clicked, but we're going to stick here with this. You can also have the speak when the mouse pointer hovers over the word. Let's go ahead and turn that on just so we can hear the words while it's happening. And we're not going to automatically speak the list because we don't want that to happen. The wait time period before starting, we'll leave that at 1 second. If we were going to use this automatically speak, that way it's not immediately jumping into it and not having any space in between each word would be this next section of the pausing time between each word when it does this automatically read. But again, we're not going to use that at this point. So now we're going to go over here and start our prediction. We'll see it pop up on the left side. Now we're going to start typing. So to start off, we'll just do the same statement we just made about this being a beautiful day, although it's more of a beautiful icy day out here. So I type in the letter T, and you'll see on the left side you have the different options. You can use the F keys, the function keys, 1 through 12. And again, we can also use the mouse, and we'll hover over them, and you will hear the word spoken.
Aired. There, though, take, two.
And you'll see on the left side, there's a bunch of little green dots as well. Those green dots are indicators of how likely it is that these words would make sense in this position. So we'll go ahead and work on finishing this. So I'm going to go ahead and type the H. And now we can see this.
There, this, this.
And so it thinks now that is would be a good option for our next word, which it is. So this time I'm just going to hit is. F1. Then A is our next word, so that would be F2.
A.
And beautiful is not in there, so we do have to start typing that one in. And with one keystroke, typing out beautiful, which would be, what about a 9-character word? Then we just hit B, and we know F5, so with 2 characters,
beautiful,
we get that whole word in there.
Day. This is a beautiful day.
So the word prediction, similar to our cell phones, I know most people have that word prediction on the cell phones. It's similar to that, but you get a lot more options. You have those F1 through 12 when it has all those options, and of course that'll be limited. If you start seeing yellow and red dots to the left of the words, those are words that you could end up using potentially, but the system doesn't necessarily think is a likely fit for that. And yeah, that's pretty much the word prediction. Robert, anything you want to add? I mean, you did so much talking at the beginning, you probably already covered all of it.
What about the training? Do you want to talk about it? You want me to talk about the training it?
Yeah, you can talk about the training.
Okay. You can actually train the word prediction tool to know your writing style. So you can actually pull in documents that you've written in the past, and read and write will learn your writing style. And then when you use word prediction, you can actually use the phrase prediction, and it can predict a whole phrase ahead. So instead of just predicting one word at a time, it may predict. So when we put in this, it may have put is a, because it knows you use that word combination quite a bit. And if you put in beautiful, it might, B for beautiful, it might predict beautiful day because we've used this sentence. Can be very time saving. A lot of times that can also be helpful for people who struggle with spelling. They know what word they're wanting, they just don't know how to spell it. They can get it started. So they can...
We've got a quick question, Robert.
Oh, okay.
Does the word prediction feature also work with HTML/webpage from fields? That's from Jeannie.
Yes, I believe it does, if I remember correctly.
Sorry, Jeannie.
Okay.
I pronounced your name wrong.
All right. Yes, it does. So if you have word prediction turned on and you're on a webpage where you're having to fill out a field, like, for example, it's an application and they want to know what your degree interest is, and instead of being checkboxes, you have to type out an essay or something. As you're typing, it should do word prediction. That's the intent of it. And the reason I'm saying should is sometimes with different web browsers, and depending on how the web page was created, it may not work as well as we would like for it to.
Come back. No problem. Thanks. Cool. All right.
Okay.
I think that's it for that section.
And I'm having to refer to Sean for notes today because my Braille notes are in my office over at the college. So.
All right. I went ahead and closed that. And time to open up party.
Okay. Spell check. Your deal, right?
That's right.
Okay.
Oh. There we go. All right, so we're going to look at the spell check in read and write at this point. So the spell check with read and write is really robust, and you get a lot of really cool features with it. So it provides definitions, it'll show sample sentences, and it'll search on phonetic spellings as well as characters typed. Now, it used to be a whole lot better, or in my opinion, and I think Robert would agree, a whole lot better than Office when it comes down to the spell check, but Office has improved quite a bit. Office does now have some definitions, and it does better with the phonetic, but it doesn't quite get as robust as read and write does still. So just a couple tidbits on the spell checker. So what we're going to do here is use this file that Robert put together for us with a couple little spelling errors, some interesting ones. And so all we'll need to do to get started here is let's just go ahead and click the spell check. There we go. So it went and found the first word that it has a problem with, which is on the text, existed, excited, spelled with an S. So over here, we have our spelling helper.
Exhausted.
And one of the cool features here is we get to hear each word as well. So we can go through.
Executed.
And listen to the words until we hear the one that sounds like what it's supposed to be. And then also, we have our definitions.
Excited, make someone feel happy and energetic about something. I tried not to excite the children too much, otherwise they would never go to sleep.
So, it's pretty basic. Your words are still underlined in red, so you'll see that over in the text, and then you have a bunch of different options over here. Change, change all, add custom, autocorrect, and ignore. So for this one, we are just going to do a regular change.
Spell check completed.
Oops. There we go. So you'll see that it changed it in the text. Now, if that was something we had a problem with throughout the entire text, we would probably want to do a change all and go that route. It automatically moves on to the next word. So now we have about spelled A-B-O-W-T. And then first option, of course, on the spell check, spelling helper is the correct spelling of that. And here we have serve, S-U-R-V-E. We're going to go ahead and correct these. You want some sandwiches? Well done on the sandwiches. That's a pretty fun one. So we're just going to go ahead and
spell check completed.
And once it's done, you'll see that everything is back to normal. I'm going to go ahead and mess up another word here. Just so we can talk about these other options. So you do have
spell check completed.
Getting excited.
Spell check completed.
Okay.
Let's spell see. Check completed.
I'm not sure why it's not.
Spell check
not.
Completed.
So we're going to mess up a different word.
You may have to start with a new document.
It?
Yeah, we're going to also turn down the speakers I type. Oops, that time I already fixed it. All right. Let's try to get this back up. Okay.
Spell check completed.
Yeah, it doesn't want to get me into the ad.
Spell check completed.
Yeah, we're just going to open that back up. I just closed it and opened it back up so we can. There we go. Autocorrect, add custom, okay. So let's say, okay, so where are we at? About trying to get it to do the add custom feature, but it's
spell check completed.
To give me options.
Did you close Word out altogether?
I did, and I reopened it, but it's not wanting to.
Spell check completed.
It just
That's
keeps.
Interesting.
Yeah. Hang close on a second
read,
here.
Close read and write and reopen it.
I'm going to try this one more time real fast.
Spell check completed.
Okay.
Spell check completed.
Yeah, now it's just 22. Sorry about this. Hang on 1 second. We're going to close Read and Write and get it open back up.
I don't think I've ever seen it do this before. This is a new one on me.
Okay, Read and Write is loading. All right, so as you'll see, all those words that I added into the custom, sorry, I was expecting a box to pop up when that happened. I'm going to delete these, and we're going to go back through because that's why it was getting mad at us. So when you want to, when you use a word that is spelled right and you don't want it to show up, when you do that add custom, it'll automatically take care of that for you. I thought it used to have another little dialog box, but apparently I was wrong. So now, if about we actually want it spelled A-B-O-W-T, we do that add custom. The next time we run this spell check, it won't show up. But Word will still have it showing up with the Word version of the spell check. So that add custom feature apparently got simpler, or I forgot about it, how it worked. You just click it, and it automatically does everything for you. So where you go to see that is you jump into the drop-down, and in your spelling options, you'll see those additional characters. And then you can also just add in your own words as well. So now that I have just spelled as J-U-S-T-T, Word will show it.
But
when you run the read and write spell check, it will not recognize that word as being misspelled. So just something to keep in mind there. We are going to go back in and get rid of those, though, because we don't want those in here. So you can see. And of course, there is the ignore and an autocorrect. So the autocorrect changed our excited, E-X-S-I-T-E-D, to the actual spelling of excited. So in the future, if we are writing didn't take it, we need to turn that on. Where's our... Should auto correct? Oh, and apparently that is not wanting to work either. Hang on 1 second. We're gonna try it again. ABOWT about auto correct. Now we're gonna try it. You're going to try all of these. Mm-hmm. Serve sandwiches. And
spell check completed.
Okay, we're going to try a couple different things. Yeah, it's not wanting to.
what you're doing.
We're going to try this with another word just to see if we can get this to work properly. So THAY, we actually want to be they. So we're going to go THEY and then autocorrect.
Spell check completed.
And you'll see it changes it in the document. So in the future, when we type in should be automatically adjusting, but for some reason right now it isn't.
What he was doing, so you can at least hear what it's supposed to do. So you type in the word, for example, they, THAY, and that's a word that you commonly misspell. You struggle with that word. You always misspell it THAY for some reason. You just can't get it straight in your mind. So you can tell it, when spell check comes up and says THAY is it correct, in the spelling list you'll click THEY to be the correct word, and then you'll click autocorrect. And from that point on, read and write should automatically, when you type THAY and hit space, should change it to THEY for you. But for some reason it isn't working to get today as expected. And I know it works because I have a couple of students who use that autocorrect on some words, and THAY was one of the words that one was giving her trouble. She used that word. That's why I use that example.
Yeah, I'm not sure why that's not happening. I went ahead and turned on the spell as I type feature so you can see that, and hoping that might have something to do with why it's not wanting to. But the spell as I type, as you saw, is also a pretty cool feature just because it does let you make adjustments as you're typing. So if you're not just proofreading a document that you've already typed, if you start typing and you see some issues, they'll automatically pop up in the spell helper. So with they, THAY, then we switch over to they, THEY, and we have that option to do it while we're typing instead of typing everything out and then going through later and doing the proofreading that way. So just another option there, and I apologize again for why it's not letting us set up the autocorrect appropriately, but for some reason it's just not letting us. And I'm reading through some notes to see if there was something that I'm missing, but
I don't think
I'm not seeing anything that was supposed to happen.
And just a note, he was talking about the where you can add words to the dictionary. If they are not, for example, a proper name, you spell it a certain way, read and write doesn't recognize it spelled that way, but you can add it to the dictionary. You can also add words to the word prediction dictionary. I forgot to mention that a moment ago, got distracted. So for example, if you're going to be writing a paper on a very specific topic that uses a lot of jargon or a lot of terms that read and write wouldn't recognize, you can add a word list to the word prediction and to spell check so that it will recognize those words automatically and not make you correct each one as you go and all of that. And there also are some word prediction dictionaries already created for things like science and medical that will help.
All right, well, that's it for the spell checker.
Homophones. You doing it
or me? You start it, I'll drive.
Okay. All right, we're going to reload our document, the party document for Bob and Lisa. And homophones, as you probably know, two or more words that sound the same but are spelled different and have different meanings, such as the 2-2-2 and there, meet, all that kind of stuff. People can really struggle with us. And then there are also confusable words that people may struggle with. Words that sound kind of the same, not exactly the same, but can sound someone enough the same that they can be confusable. Read and write allows you to check for those. And there's a little drop-down menu beside the Get Homophones icon. Am I correct?
Sounds like.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
This beside the sounds like. And in here, you can change whether it looks for confusables or not. And you can adjust some of the settings, and I'm not going to go through all of those. I'll just give you the basics of what this does. But anyway, so we have our document, and if you click the excuse me, sounds like or get homophones button on the toolbar, it's going to act very much like the spell checker. It's going to look very much like a spell checker window, but this time it's not looking for spelling, it's looking for homophones. And it has a list of like 250 some odd homophones already in the list. And by default, it's going to check for all of them. But the good news is, if it comes across a homophone that you don't struggle with, you can tell it to ignore that one in the future and it won't keep checking that homophone. So the first time or two a person uses this, it might be a little bit overwhelming with all the homophones that it catches. But as you use that ignore in the future, or I forget what the icon actually says now. Sorry.
Yeah, for the
ignore always.
Yeah, ignore, and it's just always ignore.
Always ignore. There you go. If you use the always ignore option, it will remove the, or it won't remove it, but it'll unmark that word in the homophone list and will check that word all the time. And you can always go back and add it in later if you decide, yep, I do struggle with this one after all. So we're going to, first homophone it comes across is?
It comes up with R.
Okay, which is actually a confusable rather, well, it can be a homophone because R or our or our, those can be confusables. This is not one we struggle with, so we're going to tell it to always ignore. And so in the future, it shouldn't check that one. What's the next? What's
next? There.
Okay. T-H-E-I-R, T-H-E-R-E, or T-H-E-Y apostrophe R-E are our three homophones here. So I can click on the word in my list and click the play button, and it'll read the word.
There.
Or I can click in the definition area and click the play button, and it'll read that.
And as you'll see, I already switched it to the T-H-E-I-R, so it will read that definition.
There shows that something belongs to someone. It is their car.
Okay. Versus where it originally was would be?
Used to talk about a place. It's over there. We went there last week.
Okay. So that gives you the things you want to hear, and we know that we want the other one, the possessive, rather than the location one, so we're going to click that one and then click our change button just like you would in spell check. And it's going to move to the next one. And notice also, I should have pointed out, it marks these in blue as opposed to red for spelling errors or green for grammatical errors, which people are used to seeing that. So when it marks it in blue, it indicates this is something different than what you usually get. So people won't confuse this with spell checker. So what word did it come to next?
Night.
So night or knight, as I like to jokingly say. The knight had a big knife, but knight and night can definitely be homophones. And we want the one without the K. So we will, and you know, most people probably will not struggle with this. And so we're going to click the always ignore button on this one. Did I have it spelled wrong though?
No.
Okay. Couldn't remember how I did it.
Which is good because we'll even pick up all the correct ones and the incorrect ones. So okay. Now we are to their, T-H-E-I-R.
Okay, so this is another homophone, and this one is not correct because this is the possessive, and we want the contraction, they are. So we'll select that one and click change.
Now two.
And for me, this is not a homophone I struggle with, so I'm just going to tell it to always ignore because it should be T-O as opposed to T-O-O or T-W-O.
Oops, didn't take our change.
Oh, did I have it spelled wrong?
No, okay. You had it spelled right, or okay. Spelled wrong, but didn't accept my change for some reason.
Okay.
I think I might have, we're good, though.
I wrote this document a long time ago, so it's hard for me to remember what errors I made in it and what I didn't. Sorry. Okay, so, you know, again, basically you see what's happening. It's finding words that can be considered as confusables or as homophones, marking them just so you can double check and make sure you are using the correct words. So I think that's all there is to demonstrate on this. I think I've covered everything. So I'll turn it back over to Sean.
One of the things that we wanted to do was speech input, but with working at Robert's place today and not having been trained on this microphone or, just not having been trained on it and the way that speech input works, similar to Dragon Naturally Speaking, it works best if you are able to train on it and use it. Whereas my home computer or the computer at KCKCC that we'd normally be on, I have been able to do some training on, and it worked much better there. So I don't really want to attempt to try to read in here and see what happens and have it become all jumbled. So we'll just talk about it a little bit, and then I'll show you the video that Read and Write has built for it. And I've used the speech input feature before when I've done some typing, and it works really well, especially once you're able to do some training. So I would just be able to talk and speech to text into the document. Another thing I found was really cool was the ability to navigate between programs and switching everything. And there's a lot of just really good commands that you can learn to switch between programs. I didn't have any problem, and I have no need to use the speech input system, but I was still able to navigate around Windows Explorer and Internet Explorer, Microsoft Word, bolding and using different fonts, changing colors of fonts, just with a lot of key aspects being learning commands that differ between, like correct that or delete that, and just knowing what all those are. But the list of the commands is pretty extensive, so we're not going to talk about that too much, but I am going to show you a quick video on the speech input. Let's not save that. And this is what the speech input icon looks like. And then you have just some information here as far as the microphone training and the profiles that you have available. But for now, we're just going to jump over here to the all video tours and find our speech input video. So the speech input videos from the Read and Write drop-down menu, you'll see right there, it has a list of all of them. So it's the fourth item down in the Read and Write drop-down menu.
The speech input feature in Read and Write links to Microsoft's speech recognition feature. This converts the words that you speak into text in your document. Before using the speech input, you should check your microphone is in the correct position and working correctly. To do this, click here and select Open Microphone Training. This simple wizard takes you through a step-by-step process to check your microphone. To improve the accuracy of the speech input, you should complete some speech recognition training. The more training that you do, the more accurate the speech input will be. To carry out training, click here and select Open Speech Recognition Training. Again, there is a simple wizard that takes you through the training. The first training includes tips for using speech recognition. Once you have completed the training and you are ready to use the speech input, click on this icon. The speech recognizer appears and shows that it is listening for you to speak. Simply speak what you want to write, and the text will be placed into the document. Click on this icon to stop and start the speech recognizer.
All right, so that is the speech input, and a pretty cool feature. Like I said, I've used it before, and it's also just a lot of fun to tell your computer what to do and have it respond and do the things you're telling it to do. So, Robert, anything to add on to that?
It does appear that Microsoft Speech has cut out some of the features that used to have. So in the past versions of Read and Write, when we've used this, it was very, very comparable to Dragon Naturally Speaking. And it doesn't appear that that's really the case anymore. And I think it's got more to do with the Microsoft speech in the newer versions of Windows as opposed to Read and Write. I haven't got to check that yet, but I'm thinking if you're using Windows 7 with Read and Write 11, you may have more features than you do with Read and Write 11 on Windows 10. But I could be wrong on that. That's just what I'm thinking. It has more to do with the Microsoft speech than with Read and Write, but we haven't had a chance to play with that and test that theory yet. So that's all I was going to add. Okay, what is next? Was that everything we were going to do today?
That was everything we had for today.
Okay. So, wow, this goes so much faster when we have when we're not doing hands-on. So, all right, we will open for questions. We have about 13 minutes, 12 minutes, something like that. We will open up for questions, and you can either type in the chat window, or if you have a microphone, raise your hand, and we can unmute your mic and let you talk and see what questions we have.
Do you see a question here? No, that was from a different one. Okay. It doesn't look like we have any new questions.
Okay.
We are unmuted.
Okay, it doesn't look like we have any questions. So next week, we will be looking at the study skills tools and the research tools. Read and Write has some really cool features that I think are great. To allow you to build a vocabulary list, make notes, even summarize material so you don't have to read a 20-page article to find out if it's got the information you want, researching on the internet, things of that nature. So we'll be covering those tools, specifically the highlighters, fact finder, fact folder, potentially even fact mapper, if we get a chance to make sure it's working on my system over at work. With Fact Mapper is actually a writing tool, but we didn't put it on our list today because we put it with the other two fact items for Fact Mapper and Fact Finder. I mean, Fact Folder and Fact Finder next week. So we just kept those three together in the study skills and research tools. But those are the ones we will be looking at next week to cover for session four, and that will wrap up. The things that we're covering in this four-part series. If you have any questions or anything you would like specifically to be demonstrated in those tools, if you have any idea what they are and want to see what, have anything specifically you want to see, send me an email between now and next week and we will try to make sure we cover that feature in next week's webinar. And of course, as always, if you have any questions over anything we covered today or the last 2 weeks, you can send either myself or Sean emails, and we'll be happy to try to explain in further detail or give you more resources for the thing. And with Read and Write, the speech input, what I said about it not being as powerful, probably is not a significant deal unless you have somebody with physical impairments that is they're wanting to control the computer by voice, which I have had a couple of people do that. They couldn't afford Dragon Actually Speaking, but we gave them Read and Write and it worked beautifully for them, so that they didn't have to drop the money into Dragon Actually Speaking, which is significantly cheaper now than it used to be. But with the fact that speech input does allow dictation into a document. A person can dictate what they're wanting to write. That was the primary reason for having speech input in Read and Write Gold to begin with. So all the other features were just, you know, icing on the cake. So it does still allow a person to speak what they're wanting to type. And that's the primary goal of having speech input in the Read and Write tool, was so that somebody could dictate rather than type or handwrite out what they're wanting to say.
This is a good opportunity for people to go back over the other lesson and figure out what things you need. But next week is a good chance for questions. It'd be good if you've and got all your questions together for next week. So the recordings are going to be on the web at easy.cc, easy.cc/archive, archive, /beach2018, BEACH2018, /resources.htm, resources.htm. First 2 weeks are up there with the whole recording, but the audio, the captions, you can review it in a number of different ways. And by tomorrow or at the latest Thursday, this recording should be up there too. So take this opportunity this week to go back over and find questions that you didn't ask or you wish you had, and use next week to help your review and catch up. So thank you again, gentlemen. Another good job. And we'll see everyone next week.
Thank you, Norm, for having us in. I typed something wrong. Sorry.
That is out.
I don't know if anything else is going on that you need to see here. I can't hear anything because I had to shut my computer and turn everything up so it wasn't echoing all over the place. So
I think they've stopped talking. I don't hear them.
Okay. Well, I'm totally out of it by closing the computer.
Just a minute.
Look, we typed that URL into the chat window. You might want to look and make sure I didn't get it wrong.
I don't think they're hearing us. We are unmuted, though. Beth, are you there? No.
Okay.
Well, the first time I typed it in.
Ahead and close out the meeting, and we will see you all next week. I will get the meeting scheduled and send you the invite in the next couple of days if I can get to my office, and we will go from there. Thank you all, and have a good one.
All right, we are out. Stop recording.